As it is family worship this morning, we have a very special participant in the worship of God this morning, and that's Kayla Chua, daughter of Matthew and Jaron, who will lead us in our scripture reading this morning.
Verse 35 to 40. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through the preach, the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Amen. I couldn't have read it better. This is the word of the Lord. This morning, Pastor Joseph brings us the message entitled, "Will You Be His Guide?"
Hi, good morning. And for our first part, I would like to talk to the children. Thank you for wonderful singing, reading of scripture, and being part of our church family as we worship God. So if you look at the screen, you can tell your papa or mama or your grandparents or caregiver, okay, on the left, right, what do you think this girl is doing? Have you seen this type of people in school before? Okay, whisper to your parents, okay? Okay, if you want to guess, it's a bully, right? Okay, so it's like teasing other people, being a bully. And then on the right, maybe sometimes in class, you also see some of your classmates. They're very tired. They sleep in school. Then they never seem to pay attention, right? Well, when we are growing up, sometimes we look at certain people and we think, these people, I don't think they want to come to church, right? You tell them they're such a bully. Why would these bad people want to come to church? Or these people sleeping, do they even know what's going on? But I want to encourage and tell you that God's love and God's message is for everybody. Even those people we think, they won't come to church or they'll say no. Actually, you'll be surprised how God is working in people's hearts. Maybe God is placing a friend, a classmate, a neighbor that He's asking you to speak to be friendly to, even to invite to church. So this can be, you can think about it, someone to come for Awana or Sunday school. You can pray about it. I'll tell your parents also. So everybody can hear the gospel and receive the gospel. Okay, let me pray for the children now. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the little ones and how, Lord, they are worshiping with us this morning. And we thank you for these gifts and this blessing that you've given to us, to the families and to the church. Lord, we pray especially for these young ones, Lord, that they may know Jesus personally, and also for the caregivers, the parents, the grandparents. Lord, give them strength as they care for these young ones to raise them in the fear of you. Thank you for hearing our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. So, children can still follow along. I will talk to the adults, but I'm sure there are certain things you can take note, okay? So, for the adults, the grown-ups, I found this magazine in the library, and it reminded me of something that I never knew existed, okay? So I'm a bit... For those of you who are older, do you know there's this thing called Talent Time last time in Singapore? So back in... Okay, you all can confirm for me, okay? But in the article, it said that from radio all the way to television, there will be this thing called Talent Time, and then singers and bands will come, try to make it on the big stage in the national platform, okay? So just some pictures I found, right? If you know from the 1968, who these people are. Because maybe they're in the sanctuary or so, I don't know. But if you... It's very cute, okay. So these are called the tidbits. I'm laughing because I don't know whether last time you're allowed to watch TV, okay. I assume you all can watch TV last time. Okay, so this one band called Tidbits from 1968. And then another band, I don't know whether you heard before. I give you a few moments to try to guess the name of this band, okay? Maybe you have their record at home also, okay? This band is called the Crescendos, okay, from 1963. So last time the hair quite big, I realized. Yeah, so I'm sure you all have maybe seen this back. This is Singapore, right? All these talent shows, audition, trying to make it big. So all over the world, you've probably seen other shows as well. So in the United Kingdom, they got this talent show back in the day called Britain's Got Talent. So this was in 2009. Hopefully some of you don't remember this story, but there's this lady called Susan Boyle, and she went on this talent show called Britain's Got Talent to sing. Well, before she even opened her mouth, everyone was looking at her. They look at her appearance, they think, wow, this lady cannot make it, like she cannot sing one. How can someone like that make it big? Well, when she started singing a song from, I think, Les Miserables, everybody was floored. Everybody was stunned because she sang so beautifully. And if you have a chance, after the service, go and hear her performance. It was really quite moving. And then after that, everyone was obviously very surprised, and they also felt bad because they had written her off way before she even opened her mouth to sing. They thought she cannot make it. Well, when I thought about this particular audition, I realized that, you know, we actually write people off even before we get to know them. So what I mean is that even as Christians, when you see certain people, unknowingly or subconsciously or maybe knowingly, we say, these people, they cannot be Christian one. They are too hostile to the gospel. Maybe you know some friends or family very hostile to Christianity. Some of us feel maybe these people are too sinful, too worldly, too broken, too lost. We have this mindset and this idea of what a Christian should look like, and then we write people off by saying, these people, no point sharing the gospel with them. No point befriending them. They won't want to know Jesus. Well, how can this person come to be a Christian? But we all know that when we think that way, what are we doing? We are limiting God's love. We're saying that God's love can only reach certain people, certain type of people. Whereas in the scriptures, in the Bible, we see again and again, God's love reaches everybody. And honestly, I don't know whether you know this, it only takes about a tenth of a second to 3 seconds to know whether you like or don't like a new person you meet. So you meet a stranger for the first time, it takes a split second for you to decide whether you like the person or not. And I think this would sort of influences us to think about God's love that way. Oh, this person can or cannot make it. This person will receive or not receive Jesus. I think for us, it is this morning a time to repent and confess and to realize again that God's love reaches all people. And in our passage, you'll see that God's love reaches even the unlikely convert, unlikely people, this eunuch. And remember last week, Pastor Wendell shared about this unstoppable gospel and how the gospel is now reaching from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. In our passage today, you're going to see God's love, God's gospel keep growing because God is on a mission and He is calling us to this mission. God is calling us to be a guide, Jesus' guide to somebody, to guide someone to Jesus. God is calling you to be His guide, to guide someone to Jesus. Okay, and to see that, may you join me in prayer. Let's ask the Spirit to help us understand. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time we have, and God, may your Spirit work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand your word, illuminate your word for our understanding. Help us to trust and to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here in our passage, we are reading from verse 26 to 40. And let me start with verse 26. Again, if you have your Bibles, please keep them open. It'll be very important later, okay? So now, let me start with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." Okay, let me quickly set the setting for you, okay? Set what is happening. First, God is at work. If you notice in this verse 26, right, was it Philip who own self want to go, or was it God moving? And so if I just go back one slide, right, notice is the angel of the Lord said to Philip, God is at work, God is moving, and He is using people, His people, to do His mission, His work. God is the one at work sending Philip. And later, he says that this is a desert place. For those of you who read the Bible, whenever the author leaves a detail like that, it is important. Okay, all these details will come useful later. So all these details are not wasted. Firstly, it's a desert place, so take note of that. And lastly, a location is from Jerusalem to Gaza. And obviously, Gaza is in the news quite a bit because of the conflict right now, the war. But here, it has placed an important point in the book of Acts. Remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is our theme verse, okay? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, if your geography is not good, right, you don't know the map, just know that now the gospel, the good news, is spreading outward. Now it's going south, outside of Jerusalem. People, not just Jews, all people are getting to hear the good news. Like Wendell said last week, the gospel is truly unstoppable. Now, if you ever are interested in space and black holes especially, you know that this black hole, right, is something that even light cannot escape. Once it crosses a certain point called the event horizon, when light goes in, it cannot escape. It's really... honestly, to me, it's quite scary. So scientists, physicists have been trying to speculate, guess what actually is in a black hole? And when I think about it, can you imagine, like, if you ever see a black hole, you're an astronaut, right? It's quite intimidating that once you cross a certain point, you are going to be sucked into the black hole. Nothing can stop it. And then I was thinking, if the creator of the whole universe, even of black holes, says that the gospel will go forth, wouldn't you believe him? It's almost like the image I have is like the black hole. When God says His love, His gospel, His good news is going forth, nothing can stop it. And I think, have this in mind, because when God is on a mission to reach the world, He's calling us to do this unstoppable mission, like this black hole. And all of us now are called to be a guide, Jesus' guide, to guide someone to Jesus. And how do we see this again? So now that we know about Philip sent to this place towards Gaza, the Holy Spirit is now working in unlikely ones. So what do I mean? If you have Bibles again, you can open and look at verse 27 and 28. And he, Philip, rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, an eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. So who is this Ethiopian eunuch? So first thing to note, right, Ethiopia is not modern-day Ethiopia, okay? That is another part of the continent of Africa. Whereas this one is this ancient kingdom back in the early church, and it's located, you can see, right, somewhere south of Egypt. So here is where this Ethiopian came from. Actually, it's Kush, this ancient kingdom of Kush. And he's a eunuch, a treasurer, in charge of all the queen's treasure, so very important person. Now, one thing to note that because as a eunuch, you don't have to be castrated, unfortunately, but this one, in this case, when Luke was writing this, most likely this person was a true eunuch. He was castrated. He had physical limitations. So if maybe you know, they do this because they want to prevent a eunuch or other people taking over power. And one important implication for this is that if you have some physical ailment like this eunuch, you cannot enter the temple to worship. So let me say that again. For this eunuch, when he came all the way to Jerusalem, he actually cannot enter the temple itself. He can only worship in a certain area because of his physical limitation. But here, God is calling Philip to reach this person. Of all people in the world, right, God commands Philip to speak to this eunuch, someone who's not even allowed to enter the temple to worship. Then so happened to see this eunuch, and then the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. And so happened that when they ran, Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And notice here again, right, as back then they usually read out loud, Philip happened to meet the eunuch when he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And not only that, okay, and he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So what the eunuch was actually reading from Isaiah, particularly Isaiah 51. And so happened, if you notice again, so happened that when Philip came around, the eunuch was reading Isaiah 51, talking about the suffering servant. And for us on this side of the cross, we know it's referring to Jesus, the suffering servant, the King of Kings. And I'm not sure whether you're interested in this. If you look at the same passage in your own Bibles, in Isaiah 51, you'll notice that the wording is different. Okay, so just for a bonus fact for you, when you read the New Testament, when they refer to the Old Testament, it's actually a Greek translation of the Hebrew text. They call it Septuagint. So that's why the wording is slightly different, but it's the same passage that we're referring to. So in case you want to know why the wording is different from your own Bibles. Okay, so happened Philip talked to the eunuch when he was reading, happened to read Isaiah 51, and as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, take a look at what just happened here, right? Philip obeys. Important, Philip obeys the Spirit, the angel of the Lord. He goes and becomes a guide. He teaches the eunuch what he was reading in Isaiah 51, and he's able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as I shared earlier, this is probably the Greek translation, and that's why it's a bit different from your Bible. And maybe some of you are wondering, wow, can just be baptized like that? So is it our church, we can find water, if someone wants to be a believer, just baptize? Okay, here is an important interpretive tool when you're reading the book of Acts, or actually any scripture, okay? There's a difference between descriptive and prescriptive. Okay, let me say that again, descriptive and prescriptive. So some things in the book of Acts is descriptive. It's just describing to you what is happening in the early church. Whereas other parts of the Bible is prescriptive, telling you what you should do. So like the Ten Commandments, that is quite prescriptive. Here, I want to encourage you to know it's more descriptive. So for us in normal times, right, we don't spontaneously baptize people. And if you're interested, I found an article that really describes why spontaneous baptism probably isn't the point of the passage. It's most likely these are times in the book of Acts, you realize when they baptize people, there's a supernatural, a divine work that's happening. It's trying to highlight to us that God is working. God is working not only in the Jews, but in all the people that they encounter. The gospel is for all people. And here is an important part for you. If you have your Bibles and you open, do you realize there's no verse 37? So I'll give you a 1 second, right? Or especially if you read the more modern translation like ESV, they have a footnote for you. So you take a look, you take a moment. There's actually no verse 37, okay? And before you all start throwing the pews and get very angry, wow, this translator trying to bluff us, is it? Okay, no. What is happening here is that the verse 37 is probably added later on by the scribes when they copy. And most likely they added this to give you, they wanted their readers to have a fuller picture of what was happening. So in the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, it has verse 37 and it says this, "And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may." So when he's going to be baptized, how you know be baptized? "Believe with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, this verse most likely wasn't in the earliest manuscript, the earliest copies. That's why the modern translation don't put in. But if you look at verse 37, it's nothing contentious lah. Most likely in the medieval church or the church as it was growing, this was what they declared when they want to be baptized. They had to share and declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So at the very least, you learn something about the earlier in church history. This is what they declare. Okay, so let me bring you back out again, okay? So what do we realize in this short verses, right? The gospel is going forth. So as we take a bigger picture of this passage, notice that a eunuch is now being baptized, he's becoming a believer, a follower of Christ. The Holy Spirit is spreading the gospel, leading the gospel. God's mission is going forth outside of Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. All peoples are now welcome to be a follower of Christ. No one is excluded, okay? Remember this. Everyone comes to accept Jesus. Now, this reminded me of when my wife and I, we got a chance to go to Paris. So if you've ever been to France, especially Paris, right? My friends will warn me, hey, if you don't speak French, they're very rude to you. Then I got a bit scared. So they say, if you order something, you speak English, maybe they're very rude. But actually, when I was there for a few days, my wife and I, actually quite nice. They're very nice people, never wasn't rude. But thankfully, my sister, she had an ex-classmate, her secondary classmate, who is working in Paris at that time. She went there to study uni, learn French, and then she was very nice. She actually invited us to bring us along to be our tour guide in Paris. So we were happy, so we went around. And if you know Paris, right, a lot of tourists. And then when we were walking around, so these three Chinese Singaporeans were going around, there was this random guy, okay, random Caucasian guy. He suddenly walked past us, he looked at us, and then he said, ni hao ma? So I think he was just trying to be funny, So maybe trying to make a conversation. So it's like, just sometimes when you're traveling, these things happen. But then my sister's friend, she's been in Paris for so long, I still remember what she did, right? She started scolding him in French. Like, she's very natural, so she's not Christian. She started scolding him in French. Then the guy was so shocked that he just walked away very sheepish. And then what I was really relieved is that, at least there's someone who is Singaporean who lives in Paris, who knows the culture, knows the environment, knows the customs. And I was just so glad and felt so safe that, at least we have a friend who knows this place. And do you notice how, as Christians, you are also a guide to someone who doesn't know about Christianity or Jesus? That you are that perfect person to share with someone about Jesus, all their concerns, all the questions they have. You know them better than I do. You are that guide to someone. So we are all called to be Jesus' guide, to guide someone to Jesus. All of us are called to do that. And now in our third point of our passage, this is where you have to take note, because the Holy Spirit is not only at work in the world, in unlikely people, He's also at work in you. All of you are now called to be that guide. So notice with me, if we take a big picture again on this passage, notice the first thing that happened is obedience. When God goes forth, He calls you to obey and be part of this mission. Do you notice that God is all-powerful? If He wanted to, I really wanted to, sure, He can change people's heart just like that, just on His own. But yet, God chooses to use you and I to bring someone to know Jesus. He calls you to be a guide for Him, to bring His mission to the ends of the world. He's inviting you to be part of this mission. And now, take a moment and consider, who are the people in your life that needs to hear the gospel? If you are still studying, I'm sure in your schools, who is sitting next to you? Who is in your CCA? In your workplace, some of you have colleagues, team members, employees, or even your boss, or people in your neighborhood, people you encounter. You know, when you walk in your neighborhood, there's some people you just pass by more often, or certain neighbors on your floor. Is there someone that God is calling you to obey and to befriend and to perhaps share the gospel with them? So that's the first thing to note, that we have to obey. God is at work, but we are called to obey Him. And the second thing is that God is at work in us. So important to note, as you befriend people and you get to want to share the gospel, only the Holy Spirit can transform hearts. You and I are not God. We cannot do that. All we are called to do is to share that good news. And notice with me that God calls ordinary people to be that messenger, to be that guide. So not only sometimes we think, only professionals should share the gospel, pastors, missionaries, those who work in parachurch or full-time workers, but all over in the scriptures, God calls normal, ordinary people. God placed you in a particular place to be that guide, to share the gospel, to be that missionary. And again, if you think about this year, so this is sort of the start of the year, where has God placed you? Where has God placed you in your classroom or your school or your office, your discussion group? Do you know that is the place that God wants you to be a guide for Him? So wherever you are, even in your homes, I cannot be there. And it'll be very weird if I suddenly out of the blue talk to your classmate or your colleague. But then you are there for a special reason, and it's never by accident. And the last thing I want to highlight to us is that divine appointments. So if you live life long enough, you realize sometimes, the world will say, just by chance, so lucky I bump into you, you're there, you're also here. You know, there's these things that we tend to say. These are the divine appointments that God gives. Just like if you sit in a Grab, and then so happened, like what happened to my colleague, she was in a Grab coming to church, and then the Grab driver started talking to her about Christianity, about what to believe in Jesus. All these are the divine appointments that God gives you. And just like in our passage, so happened that Philip was walking where this eunuch was. So happened that he was reading Isaiah 51. And then remember, he was baptized. So happened that they are in a desert place and there was water around to be baptized. So happened, and you realize again and again, God uses these divine appointments, that nothing is by accident. God is working and using us to be His guide. And ultimately, Jesus is that guide, the example for us. If you read in the Gospel, especially in Gospel of John, in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory," Jesus' glory, "glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." What it's saying is that if you want to know who God is, you look to Jesus. Jesus is that guide. But more than just a guide, He is our Savior, He is our Redeemer, He is our Lord, He is our King. Jesus is the one, the reason why we do what we do. And so I want to pause here for a moment and consider with you, as I had to consider, right, who is Jesus really? Because I have to be honest, when you are Christian for a long time, there's sometimes you feel very very low. Don't you feel very spiritually high? And I was reading this book called Deeper by this Dane Orton, and there was this particular passage that I want to share with you. It says this: "We take a painkiller and go to sleep when we think we have a headache. We undergo chemotherapy when we know we have a brain tumor. And so the point is, the severity of our condition dictates the depth and seriousness of the medicine we know we need. Now, if you view your sinfulness as a bothersome headache, more than a lethal cancer, you will see tepid growth, if any. You won't see yourselves as needing to grow all that much. But when we see how desperately sick we are, and how profoundly short we fall of the glory of which God intended us, we have already taken the first step, decisive step in bridging that vast gulf between who we are and who we were made to be." So what he's saying here is that when we forget how bad sin is in our lives, we will also downplay how important Jesus is to save us. So when we read the book of Acts and we are all called to be guides, I will always remind you, I must constantly remind you, the book of Acts is a two-part series which starts with the Gospel of Luke. If you do not know what Jesus has done for you, it will make no sense to point people to Jesus. It's only when we realize how Jesus came down to earth for us, to live among us, to live that perfect life we couldn't live, and then to die on the cross for our sins, past, present, and future. And not that we deserve it, but because God loves us. It's only when we realize the depth of God's love, the breadth and the severity of our sin, can we truly respond to be His guide. And now we know Jesus rose from the dead. He is now seated at God the Father's right hand, and He's still praying for each and every one of us. This is the love and compassion and the righteous God, Jesus, that we worship. So for all of us, one thing I hope we can take away is firstly, let's not limit God's power. Let's confess there are times when we see someone and we say, this person, really, he won't be a Christian. No point sharing the gospel with him. No point inviting him to church. No point being his friend or her friend. This person cannot make it. I think we are reminded again from our passage that God's love reaches all people. And He is calling us to be that guide, to point someone to Jesus. And the next thing we want to do is to pray for opportunities. So later, during the corporate prayer time, I want to give you some time to pray for one person that God is placing in your heart. Someone you met maybe by chance, quote-unquote by chance, or someone you know for a long time. Pray for that person and keep praying for that person. And the last thing I want to encourage us is to equip yourselves. Sometimes when we read how Philip went to the eunuch, I can share Jesus, right, from Isaiah all the way to the whole scriptures, it sounds intimidating. It sounds like, this one are more for the scholars or professionals. But I want to tell you that all of us can be equipped to deepen our knowledge of God, of the Bible. So you can do it in a lot of our ministries in church, from our ABC class, adult Bible classes, our Covenant Bible School, in your discipleship groups. Even coming to church every week is a way you deepen your knowledge of God. And not only your knowledge, equip yourself also to live out your Christian life. And because when I had the opportunity to study at Singapore Bible College in Singapore, and also in Covenant Seminary, one thing that struck me about the faculties, right, is they don't only teach you about Jesus, they live it out. They teach you real change from the Bible and then showed it with their lives. And I think for all of us, a reminder, you equip yourself not only so that you can gain knowledge, but you also live your lives as a Christian and with Christ's likeness. These are the ways that you point people to Jesus, to guide them to Jesus. So for us today, we realize that the Holy Spirit is at work, but not only that, the Holy Spirit is also at work in unlikely ones. People you never expect to become a Christian. And the Holy Spirit is at work in you. Not only is God doing this work, He's calling you to be part of this work, calling you to pray for and look out for maybe just one person this year, one person to pray for, befriend, and share the good news with them. Now, most of you know, I grew up in church, and in this church, and one particular youth camp, the first few youth camp I went to, I remember I saw this this guy who is about his mid-20s, okay? So I was like a teenager. Then I saw this guy in mid-20s at the youth camp. So I asked my friend, hey, I'm new here. Who is this person in this YF camp? And then he said, oh, this guy, you better be careful. Even though he's been coming to church, right? He's quite a rebel, just be careful of him. So this guy in his 20s, and then soon as I know more about this guy's story, rebel is understatement. Because even though he grew up in church, right, you can tell he doesn't really pay attention in church. He will call it a season of wilderness. He will come, and then some seasons he don't even come, and he even questioned whether he's a Christian. But anyway, this guy, he grew up, got older, worked in the civil service, and then after in the civil service for a number of years, he decided to start his own business. And he shared with me that it's only at this point when he was having his own business that things got really bad. He said that a turning point was, it was so bad, he didn't even have money to feed his family. He said that was one of the lowest points in his life. He thought he could do it. He thought he's more than capable, but God had to humble him. And amazingly, in I think 2008, he told me the Holy Spirit spoke to him and called him to be a true Christian, to serve in church, first as a deacon and then as an elder. And he shared with me that when he stepped up to be a deacon and elder, right, a lot of his friends were looking at him like, huh, this guy, you sure? This guy can be a deacon? Huh, this guy can be an elder? And more than that, God called him to be a pastor. So if you know about Wendell or Pastor Wendell's story, right, maybe he shared with you before, if you know his story, this is what he shared, that people look at him and people say, huh, this guy can be a deacon, this guy can be an elder, this guy can be a pastor. But I think looking at Pastor Wendell was a reminder that God calls anyone and everyone to love him. And if you have the chance, you go and catch out Pastor Wendell, okay? Go ask him about his testimony. I remember him when I was younger, really, he's really the rebel in the youth group. And yet now, he's preaching God's word. He's a pastor of our church. And I think this is a real-life example of how God's love reaches everyone, even those we think are unlikely. All of us are called to be Jesus' guide, to guide someone to Jesus. We do not know the outcome. We do not know how the gospel will go forth. All we are called to do is to obey, to obedient, pray for the people, and God will do the rest of the work. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time, and thank you, Lord, as we are rebuked, but also confess that we often limit your love. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to share your love to all that we meet. Help us to be obedient to your call. Help us to always fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.